Welcome to Pittsburgh Youth Media, recording live from SLB Radio. My name is Sharissa, and I'm in 8th grade, here from Manchester Academic Charter School.
My name is Mikey, and I go to Manchester Academic Charter School.
My name is Tiana, and I go to Montour High School.
My name is Tiana, and I go to Montour High School.
Today, we will be discussing interracial relationships and the legacy of Nipsey Hussle. So, what are your opinions on interracial relationships? I think love is love. There's like a lot of negative energy towards interracial relationships because it's not like relevant to some people when it's relevant to the person who's in the relationship. So personally, I think I'm all for it because you love who you love and you can't help it.
But then there is like among like the black community, which every community, dating outside your race is like taboo or whatever.
Do you see more the black guys in the white girls or the Hispanic girls, but you don't see the black girls in the white guys?
I think that is because it's like a stereotype that men are going to date out of their like society. And it's not just like people from like different races who are bringing the negative energy. It's people from your own race. So it makes it seem like, oh, I don't want to do this because this person's going to talk about it, that person's going to talk about it. And I feel like if you're in a community, you should like respect whoever's opinion in your community because everybody has different perspectives of things.
I feel like at a young age, the females are raised to support the men in their race. They're meant to be like their backbone, like raise them up the right way you want them to be. So then coming outside of your race is not something you were taught from a young age. That was fine to do. So then it's weird to go outside your race. And then it factors in that you get attacked by the people you're supposed to support for dating outside of your race as well.
I really don't think too much in it. I just think like, oh, they're in a relationship. Ah, that's cute. I really don't think like, oh, he's white, he's black, he's Hispanic. I don't really think of that. Like,
I think like every time I see an interracial couple, I think that's cute. But like, I also think like that's different because you don't ever really see it anymore. People who are like dating outside of their race, if they are, they're not telling anyone. Like growing up, I didn't see like a lot of like interracial relationships on TV. It was more like, if you're this race and this race, you're meant to be together. And it's not always like that. But you just don't see a lot of it in public. So I think the standard is just like how you think everyone else is going to see it. But also sometimes I do see some like relationships because my sister's in high school, so I'm always around her. I see some things where people are having interracial relationships, but it's like once in a blue moon. When slavery and stuff was going on and segregation, it was don't do this to that person, don't do that to that person. So I think there's still, not saying that anyone's like racist or anything, but they're going back to there where like, I'm supposed to be with my race. If it's wrong or it's unknown if I'm with another race. It's just not meant to be. That's what I think other people think.
Some people are taught that because you can't be born and be like, I don't like black people. You got to be taught that for you to do what your parents say. If someone don't like it, then that's their opinion. They're not doing it, so you might as well like mind your business. We have a rule, rule number 8, mind your business. So mind your business and do you. It's like, I want to date who I want to date. Like, that's it.
And I think it's not always about who I date. It's what they feel like. If someone's like have a bad personality and they're just like a bad person overall, but I like that person, that's different. It's not like, I feel like people see more of color than what they're supposed to see.
So your family members or you or your friends that is in a relationship with someone different skin color of theirs, just be more supportive because you never know what that person's feeling like. You don't know why they're dating someone out of the race.
Yeah, I have a question. Is like interracial relationships just like color or is it like nationalities? Because I think it's like somebody could be black and your boyfriend could be like Jamaican. Is it just like your race?
My family, we're mixed with, like, black and Hispanic, so that's kind of open. My mom, my brother, he's Hispanic and black. So I think, like, it's not looked down upon, to be honest. Not for us. They're really cool about that. They don't really care. As long as they like you and they respect you, they don't care.
So, like, my brother and my aunt, they're, like, all for it because they have dated outside their race before. But I don't know about my older generations, like my great-grandma and my grandmas and my uncles. I think they're more like, I don't know how I feel. I just have to see how it goes. Like, I'm still going to have, like, a little tiny grudge. But it's not going to be like, oh, I don't like you just because you're dating someone in my family and you're a different race. I think that they're going to question it. Culture plays a big part because if you want to be in a relationship for a long time, you have to think, what if we have kids? What are we going to raise them as? Because say, like, you're dating a Christian and someone's not that religious. Like, they never got baptized. They never, like, go to church really except on holidays. You have to think outside the box to see what's going to happen in the long run.
Maybe you can have agreements with your fellow soulmate, I guess.
You have to integrate, like, merge each other. Because if I'm dating a white guy, I have to teach him the stuff I fear, the stuff I go through, and then he has to teach me what he learned as well, and then we have to find, like, a common ground.
Yeah, and I also think, like, if our cultures are, like, really different, I feel like we're gonna clash a lot about our different opinions and how we feel and how we want to do things. But another fear that I think people have are, like, other people's perspective and how they're going to feel about dating another race because they have to step outside their comfort zone. So next up is the legacy of Nipsey Hussle. My perspective on this specific topic is that I think there's a lot of different conspiracy theories. And one that I think is, like, true but not so true, it's like 50-50, is that the government has something to do with it or that his friend might have been jealous.
Okay, Nipsey Hussle was a rapper from Los Angeles, and he wasn't only a rapper. He was a philosopher. He was an activist. He was an entrepreneur and a businessman, and he died March 31st by the hands of a gunman that was also a childhood friend.
The man that killed him, they switched up the story like 3 times. First, it was somebody they didn't know. Second, it was a rapper that they didn't know. Then it was somebody that's from the Rolling 60s, their gang. And then they're saying that he was in and out mental institution. And the government is known for going in there and poaching people that's in a mental institution.
How I feel, it has something to do with Sharissa. I think the government killed him. He was actually a good man. He gave back to his black community. He was about to release an article about, what's his name? A documentary about
Dr. Stevie.
Yeah, Dr. Stevie. Stevie, yeah.
He was a holistic doctor.
And he basically had a cure for AIDS and different type of diseases.
I think he cured somebody of AIDS, like a big celebrity. So that caught the eyes of the, like, government and pharmaceuticals. So they were like, you can't do this, you can't do that.
I think we know that the government will have something to do with his death if Nick Cannon dies, because Nick Cannon said that he's going to, like, continue his documentary.
I do believe it's, like, the government definitely had his hand in it. Because first it comes with that left eye situation. She was about to do the same thing he was about to do. She was about to release a documentary, and then she goes to Guatemala. And then
Honduras. That's where he was.
Honduras, from. Yes. And then she magically just swerves off the lane and claims it as suicidal. It's definitely proven that without black people suffering and basically falling in on themselves, the government has no hold. Black people are no longer, like, dependent on them. Giving ex-cons jobs and building communities, building, like, different work areas for people and all of that, giving kids voices, giving them a new mentality when it comes to being in that area, that defeats their purpose.
So I think he's different from other rappers because he was in a gang. But he tried to better himself and get his life together and get away from the type of gang life that he was in and the scenarios he was in. Most rappers nowadays rap about, oh, I'm gangbanging, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. When he was, his stuff was, like, real. It was about, like, him bettering himself.
He was trying to better our community, but if you, like, if you made it and you're still in the hood, it's not good to be in the hood because there's, like, jealous people, like, that's envious of you. So I've had you, I feel like you're blowing up and you're doing what you're supposed to do. You could get back to the community, but don't stay in the hood because there's people envying you. They want your money.
The thing is, when he said he was in a gang, there's a difference between being a gang member and being a gang banger. A gangbanger is somebody that is actively in it. That's like they're out there doing all these violent crimes. A gang member is just a member. Like, people do say, like, gangs down there are more like brotherhoods. Mm-hmm. When they're old heads, they're brotherhoods. When they're younger kids, they're gangbangers. So then that's, like, what people say that set him different because he wasn't, you didn't see him in the news doing all these stupid stuff and nothing. You didn't hear when he died people coming out saying, oh, he was a terrible person. He had no love for nobody. Even though he was in a gang. That's like, that's one thing that sets him apart. I'm a fan of him. He wasn't a part of that. If you would listen to like how he talked, his interviews, he would talk like a whole different mindset. You wouldn't see that in any rapper nowadays. You would see them in the old heads, but not now. That's why he was different.
Most rappers, they complain about not getting money or they brag how much money they got. And he invested his money in different things. He didn't spend his money on drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff and clothes.
So, you know, like the government situation, I think that goes for Tupac. He rapped about good things like keep your head up and whatever. And that's when I feel like the government killed them. The government don't want peaceful or doing motivation songs, basically. I think he was the same to not rappers like now because of all the, like rappers back then. I think he's the same. Like, he still did bad and good things because nobody's perfect. Like, in his one song, he was with his girlfriend, Lauren London. His scene of his music video, like, he had her selling weed for him. Like, he had her packaging it and stuff like that and sending it off. That's when she got 10 years. And that's when it said 10 years later, she came back to be a real estate agent. He probably changed, but he still was the... He was a regular person, basically. He wasn't no better than nobody else. Yeah.
Because everyone makes mistakes, so... He made mistakes, but they don't always try to repair their mistakes. They just move on. He tried to repair his mistakes for giving back to his community. He wasn't a taker. I feel like he was more of a giver than a taker. And you don't see that a lot today. You see a lot of people taking, not giving back. He didn't do it to show off. He did it. I feel like he was trying to make a change so other people could do it. It wasn't just one person. Everyone makes a change.
It was basically a message. Yeah, like he's basically expiring, like, step y'all game up. Y'all got money. Other people don't. Y'all need to be doing something. Make a change in this world because it's the 2019. It's horrible out here. It's absolutely terrible.
This is the end of the topic of Nipsey Hussle. He was a good man, and he did not deserve to die like that or die at all because he was a big part of his community, and not just his community, but the Black community. And I think he was changing faces about how people see old gang members and people who used to gang bang. He was a good dude.